This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa. Internet world, West Alabama. How are we doing today on this Tuesday? Oh my gosh, the microphones are connected today. We are live in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios. We apologize to you yesterday about yesterday's episode not being quite right, but we're back at it in the Derrick Daniels State Farm Studios, live off of McFarland Boulevard with our friend Mason Woods. You can find us on the Twitter machine at JoeGaither6, at MAWoods_, at Bama Central. You can find us right here off McFarland Boulevard, past the Tiger Rock on the left, in Derrick Daniels' office, called Derrick Daniel. And his team today at 205-758-3391 for all of your insurance needs. You guys can talk to Red Reese or Victoria about homeowners insurance, life insurance, car insurance, all kinds of insurance needs right here. Derrick Daniel, State Farm Insurance, right here off of McFarland Boulevard. Call Derrick Daniel and his team, 205-758-3391. Yeah. I'm not really sure what we're going to do today. We've got a lot of things we can do today. I'm not really sure what we should repeat yesterday. I'm really the technical debacle from yesterday, because I was really happy with Theo and Hunter, their appearances on the show. I appreciate their time. If you missed that, you can try to listen to it right there on all the podcast platforms. I just was not very happy with it. Didn't think it came out very well from a tech standpoint because of one button that didn't get punched. We punched it today. We're going to talk about Noah Williamson. We're going to talk about the tournament. We're going to get Mason's thoughts on the Duke game. We're going to get Mason's thoughts on really all of it, because he wasn't a part of the show yesterday. So, let's start right here. Let's get you to follow Mason Woods at MAWoods_. We'll open up and say good morning to Mason, get your reaction to the weekend. We'll take a voicemail line and we'll try to see if that gets our ball rolling. Good morning, Mason. How are we doing, sir?
I think morning would just be a more appropriate way to address probably on today. It is still not a good morning. I am still just heartbroken. I mean, that game hurt me to my core, you know, that Duke game. In the back of my head, in my heart of hearts, knew there was a pretty good chance it may end up going that way, because Duke is just so... Thank you, Everett.
Everett, we would not win any games. Everett Osmer's comment, I would have Mason at point guard and Joe at point center, and Joe at point guard, but you have best team ever.
I played 2 years of organized basketball in middle school, and I scored 8 points in 2 seasons.
It would look a whole lot like Saturday, but worse, because I couldn't dribble around any competent defender. Mm-hmm.
I was the king of getting put in for the last like 2 minutes of the game, only to foul out. It was awesome. That was what I would do.
Fouling out in 2 minutes is impressive.
All right. That was my MO. But yeah, no, I'm still hurt. I'm still hurt a lot.
That one hurt me.
That was a tough game to watch.
I
thought Alabama gave a lot of effort. I don't think it was Alabama went out there and laid an egg. I think Duke is just that damn good at basketball, unfortunately, for Alabama. It was just unfortunate. You know, you thought maybe a bit of the hot shooting would continue from the BYU game, and it just didn't really. I thought maybe Cliff and Grant would have a chance to work inside a little more than they did, but they just mostly got kind of dominated down there. It was just an unfortunate evening watching that game, and then having to have it followed up by watching the Auburn Tigers proceed to their second Final Four, which was also tough.
Auburn, not 2 minutes after being in the Final Four. I didn't talk about Stephen Pearl yesterday. This is perfect. Stephen Pearl is in the locker room. Oh, we've got two Final Fours. The only team in this state that can say that. Brother, like, you just won the Final Four, and you're thinking about us? You're thinking about Alabama?
Have you talked? Go get hired by somewhere. Why are you still an assistant coach, Stephen? Nate Oates is running through assistants. We can't keep him here. What are you doing? Are you bad at your job? Your daddy got to keep you around, Stephen? Shut your damn mouth.
Only one program in this state. Cause, like, I think that's funny and fine.
That's funny a week from now.
Yes.
It's like, this is when your first reaction? A little bit and you get to, hey, here's a little jab. You go on the next round live or whatever. That's great. But it's sad when it's the first thing that you think of immediately after this incredible team success that evidently you have no part in because no one wants you to come be their head coach.
Oh, has Indiana hired somebody? Did Indiana? I know Mike Woodson was moving on, right?
What do you make of the whole Maryland coach exit? It's been dirty. Seems like from both sides. I don't think Willard handled it well, but seems like maybe there was a lot of issues brewing under the surface there prior to his exit.
Yeah, I think that Kevin Willard maybe didn't know what he was getting into. And once he realized what he was getting into, it seemed like Maryland tried to appease him, but it sounded like his mind was pretty much made up. And yeah, definitely dirty towards the end, because what I have read, and maybe you correct me, but what I've read is he signed or he agreed to this Villanova job like before the Sweet 16 game even started. Well, but he's sitting there telling people, I don't know what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, brother, it's fine. Just say, hey, this is it.
We're out.
That
was perfect.
We're out of here at the end of the run, but we're going to give the run as best we can.
Yes.
Like,
there's two ways. You either do that where it's, hey, I'm going to be the head coach of Villanova in 2.5 weeks or whatever it is, but hey, we're going to fight like hell until we out of this tournament. Or you just say, I don't want to talk about it at all. I'm going to let my agent handle these things. We're focused on the team in front of us. Those are the two ways you can handle this. You do not come out with, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't. That's just a terrible way to handle things. I get why. I get maybe why he took the job. You're going to have, you don't have to compete with anybody at Villanova, any other sports, really. The basketball is the be all end all. I don't know. I understand, I guess, taking it because, again, you know, Maryland, I feel like, is in this weird spot where they think that they're better at football than they are, and they're giving Mike Locksley a lot of. They're appeasing him a lot where they're never going to compete in football. Your best year in football for Maryland is going to be, what, 9 wins?
Did you see the Damon Evans? I mean, Damon Evans is leaving Maryland for SMU. I'm not sure which article that I think it was in Athletic. I think it's what I read in the Athletic. But apparently Damon Evans in off-color comments, oh, we'll never win a national championship in football in Maryland. Like,
you are correct.
He gets to Maryland. Now, he's gone, but he gets to Maryland. And he says, hey, our path to viability, our path to profitability is to make the football team good. So we got to, you know, get the resources up. But Kevin Willard's like, oh, this is a former ACC school. This is a former national champion. Thinks that, oh, we need to be operating, you know, basketball forward. Well, I mean, this is just a microcosm of what college athletics is happening. Sure. Like, we're fortunate in Tuscaloosa that Greg Burns got a big enough pie for both Nate and for Kalen for now.
Oh yeah. For now. Cause I mean, you know, I heard this kind of get thrown around on a podcast I was listening to talking about revenue sharing and how like these schools that will not have to share that revenue with a football program might have a pretty good advantage in basketball.
Yeah. He's going to Villanova there's no football program to compete with. And so the rev share, I guess the basketball team at Maryland was only going to get $3.5 million or something, right? In that range, which was a reportedly a good rev share for the Big Ten. Well, you go to Villanova and that rev share becomes $7.5-$8 million. And it's like, oh, we can make this.
We can make this work. I mean, stretch it. Yeah. I understand why he took, you made the best decision for yourself. I just don't think he handled it very well.
Sounds like he and the old boss just were not going to get along.
I don't understand why. if you're Maryland, why are we trying to make the football team work?
That's what they got to get a new athletic director. Yeah. So maybe new athletic director is going to reset a different direction.
We follow national media and things. We watch TV. We watch news. Like, I saw more about the Crab Five than I saw about anything that Mike Locksley has done in the last two or three seasons with Maryland football.
Tulia Tagovailoa?
What, for that three-week stretch where he was like the 18th Heisman candidate? Like,
and the week and a half stretch where apparently he turned down a lot of money from Auburn.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, it's just, we're an Alabama family.
I think the ceiling here, your ceiling with this basketball program as far as getting eyes on Maryland is much higher than it is with the football program.
Well, all you got to do is get Stephon Diggs to like start, you know, saying something about Maryland.
Yeah, I think he may have worn his public favor out at this point.
I agree with you there. Yes, I agree with you. Oh, yeah, yeah. We can spin this a little bit because of rev share. Greg Byrne had comments in the last day and a half because of rev share, talking about scholarships added, because that's the big, everybody's like, oh, rev share, you're going to add scholarships because of the restrictions are all kind of gone. And oh, bye-bye walk-ons. Greg Byrne says Alabama's planning to add 40 scholarships across the entire, I think it's 19 scholarship sports, 21 scholarships. I don't know if it's 19 or 21. Mm-hmm. It's one of those two. Planning to add 40 scholarships. And to you and me, that sounds like a lot. But if you look across the board, a lot of other schools are adding up to upwards of 60 and 90 scholarships. And Greg Byrne's reasoning is, hey, we still want to operate at a very high class level. We will still want to give these scholarship athletes a very big time experience. So we're not adding as many scholarships, but I mean, we are adding scholarships. Sure. We want to maintain the integrity of the University of Alabama, the University of Alabama experience as an athlete.
I guess I don't, you know,
also as a caveat talks about not being as flush with cash.
That's maybe where our the real reasons for this lie is a more of a money thing as opposed to anything else.
Money, money, money.
I don't think Greg Byrne is really that concerned whether money. Or not, you know, the 65th scholarship player on whatever team it is getting the full college experience.
Well, I'm pretty sure that he has said each scholarship athlete cost the University of Alabama. Did he say the last time I heard this number, was it 180 or 210? It was either $180,000 or $210,000 per year, just in care and food and travel,
with an endowment of $6.1 billion, I think you're doing okay. Maybe throw a few more of those around, Gregory. Absurd.
We'll see what happens.
Little old Alabama ain't got no money.
Well, we just need to sign up for Yay Alabama and be a part of Tide Pride.
Yeah, come on, Jimmy. I know you worked 60 hours this week, but come on. We need an extra scholarship.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So you're feeling bad from Saturday. No one heard me, but I basically said there's no reason to feel bad. There's no reason to feel sad. It was a good year.
Yes. You are correct.
You got beat by a team that was just elite. Kenny Pomeroy, Mr. Kenneth Pomeroy, I believe has this Duke team as the number one team in the last 10 years.
I think that's what I saw as well. I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw that the whole Final Four is like
in the top 10
or top six. Yeah, okay.
You had
the last 30 years or the entire history of Ken Pom.
You've got you got last year's UConn is like two or three. I'm pretty sure I saw Duke won, this year's Duke won, this year's Florida two. Did I see that? Or then it was UConn, last year's UConn three. Absurd. So like, why do we feel bad? There's no reason to feel bad. You saw the tweet. I think I sent it to you. You have number one, number nine, number 12 overall draft pick. You have number 41, 42, and like 46 overall draft pick on the Duke roster. And it's like, okay. Don't feel bad.
Sure. Be happy you got there.
Be happy you got there without Latrell Wrightsell, without fully healthy Darian Reed, with banged up Grant Nelson, with, you know, we only had 3 minutes of you, Houston Millett.
Like, it was an awesome 3 minutes.
Sure. What could this team? The team didn't play a single game healthy. Not a single one. Houston was out before the season. Houston and Youngblood were out before the season started. Houston got, you know, Houston got back into the lineup for his 3.5-4 minutes. Youngblood did get back to the lineup, but as soon as Youngblood and Millett get into the lineup, well, you lost Luttrell the week before. You lose Luttrell, you get into it. Grant gets banged up on a shin and a wrist. It just became Cliff kept getting banged up here, minor injuries. It just became one thing after another. So I feel like you should be happy with it. I feel like everybody should be happy.
You are
with it.
Correct. It was just, man, it hurt to lose. I hate losing. But you're all right. It is. Was, I mean, back to back.
Does it hurt to lose? Okay, I'll ask you. I'll ask you. Okay. Take your pain, the pain in the loss. What could Alabama have done to have beaten Duke? Is there any?
Hell if I know.
All right, that's my question.
Yeah, I don't think anything. I don't think you were winning that game that on that Duke team is, and that is, you know, that's the one thing that it's like, it is what it is. You know, you ran into a buzzsaw. You play who you play, and you know you got matched up with the best team in the tournament. I'm pretty sure right there.
Everybody crying online about Alabama getting easy paths. I want to take it a flip side. How about your two deepest runs in the last 20 years get interrupted by two generational teams? Last year's UConn, even this year's Duke. It's like,
yeah, that hurts.
It's like, come on.
I think what really hurt me the most was just thinking about the regular season. And if you win either against Tennessee or Missouri, decent chance you're getting that one seed, and we're not having the same conversation.
That's what really irritates me.
I think that was the most irritating thing about that loss was
losing to Ole Miss
to be there. Or yeah, sure, losing to Ole Miss. Any of those games,
you lose at home to Ole Miss. You lose at home to Florida by 5. Like, you got your doors blown off by Ole Miss because you weren't ready, and you got turned over 20 something times. You win those two home. You just win the home games. Just the home games. I'm okay. You say, look, you can argue, Joe, you're not going to beat Florida. Fine, give you that. Let's go up to Knoxville and not choke the last minute and a half away. Oh, please.
Because was it a 7-0 run the last 90 seconds?
Yeah. So let's beat Ole Miss at home and let's not choke it up in Knoxville. And let's take the 5th overall seed where Tennessee played Houston. And, hey, buddy, I like that matchup for you a whole lot better than the Duke matchup. You might lose it, but you're at least on the 5 overall line. And you're arguing for maybe that Florida that Florida wants. Oh,
man, it just yeah, that's probably what hurt the most was thinking like, I mean, you were two seconds away, 10 seconds away from not even having to play this team right here. You know,
being so close,
man. Oh man,
and having so much to say. All right, Louis, you do have a voicemail from the weekend. I missed it yesterday, and it's fine that I missed it yesterday because you guys wouldn't have been able to hear it as well. And I think that this is our friend Roy in Lake Gunnersville wanting to talk about the tournament run. You can call in on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Be a part of the show. We will respond to it. This is Roy from Lake Gunnersville.
Boy, Lake Gunnersville. Well, I got to say it's Roll Tide. We might have gotten beat. Well, we definitely got beat. I wish it was a little closer, to be honest. I'd feel a little better about the whole situation if we had been a little more competitive. Because the fact is, going 2-4 against one seed and then losing by 20 to Duke, it just shows this team the whole year, they were not on that championship level. Now, a lot of gains have been made, I will not deny. I mean, for us as fans to be disappointed with an Elite Eight appearance just shows where the program has come. So credit to,
Roll Tide to that, Roy.
Nate Oates for that. But if they want to be a championship team, there are changes to be made. You cannot jack up 32 threes when you cold. You cannot jack up 32 threes against a good defense. You have to have an actual system that will create more open shots, more shots from different places in the court to soften up the defense. But overall, I won't complain. Alabama did win the women's wheelchair basketball national championship over the weekend. So we may not be a football school anymore under Kalen DeBoer. We may not be a basketball school under Nate Oates, but we are a wheelchair basketball school. And to that, I say, Roll Tide. Roy out.
You know, I was roommates with a member of the wheelchair basketball team when I was a freshman at Alabama.
Tell us about
my friend Rashad. He was awesome. They won a national title while he was on the team. He was like a, you know, seventh or eighth guy off the, you know, off the bench, but he played a good bit. He was fun. I went to a handful of games. That is, if you've never watched it before, like
they're banging into each other.
Oh my God. They hit each other at full speed. They are spilling each other out of their chairs, and like they're strapped in, obviously, but like they are, I mean, literally getting tossed into the floor. You know, guys are having to flip each other up and get like, it was so physical, so much more physical than I ever anticipated that sport could be.
Well, when you can't feel anything in your legs,
they were going after it, and dude, they were stroking it. I mean, guys pulling up from 30 feet, bang. It was awesome. They won. They scored a ton of points that game. I went in thinking like, oh, this is gonna be not super fun to watch. My small brain. Boy, I had a great time every time I showed up to a wheelchair basketball game.
The women, 5-time national champs.
That's awesome.
Five in a row. The men, I think, finished third this weekend. So still good, just not tippy top. Oh,
I know they have been very, very good both programs. So that's a. If you got some extra time kicking around and you want to, that is a fun sport to go watch.
I don't really have a whole lot of notes on Roy's call. I have two things that stuck out to me. Do you have anything?
Roy, I think you are mostly correct in your sentiment of you need to find better shots than they put up. But I don't think the issue is that you took a lot of threes. The issue is that you just took a lot of bad threes.
Yes.
I think we lacked what we thought Cliff was going to be all season, and that was very evident against Duke. I think if you have that inside presence, you probably can get a lot more open shots going because they're going to respect that a lot more. So that's kind of where things begin and end with Alabama. You still just don't have a reliable big man presence that, you know, you tried to get.
I lost my brain yesterday, but I don't know if it was at a time when people could hear the show or not very well. So I'm just going to do it again. I want your opinion on kind of all this as it wraps in. I'm trying to think about the best way to kind of like restate everything I said yesterday in a more succinct way. Nate Oates, Roy's right. You do have room to grow. You've got room, steps to take forward. You have steps to take ahead. I got upset yesterday. Theo didn't think I was in line. Hunter agreed with me, but Nate, in the second half, apparently Ali LaForce comes off the sidelines and goes, oh, he's in the huddle, pointing at the whiteboard. It doesn't matter what I draw up over here if you guys don't get a defensive stop, if you guys aren't playing on defense, if you guys aren't, you know, hustle, hustle, hustle. And on the surface, he's right. I said this yesterday. It made me think about the timeout from Florida. I'm not taking a timeout to make you guys play harder. On the surface, you're right. But I was thinking to myself how hard the offense was, how challenging it was to get even a good shot. And it was all because of Kaman Malawash. Like, really?
He made everything so difficult for
him. Right. People are going to walk away thinking, oh, my gosh, that Cooper Flagg is so good.
And they,
you should. But it wasn't Cooper Flagg that got you beat. To me, it was Malawash and Ngungbo who get you beat because of their paint presence on the Duke's defensive end, on your offensive trip. Because you're trying to go get to the rim.
It was impossible for Mark Sears to get to the rim.
Literally impossible. You have, what are you, Mark, 6'1"?
On a good day.
Right. Against a guy who's 7'2" with a 9-foot wingspan who is just like, feed me, baby. Just come in here. Come try me. Come try me.
Just a brick wall down.
Right. And so that's where it starts. And so you have the contrast of Thursday night's game where every shot, it doesn't matter if it was a good shot or a bad shot, was going in. It was just fire, just insane fire. And so you combine, oh, well, we were on insane fire last night, and we ain't getting to the rim on these jokers. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't get to the rim. I can't get dribble drive. I can't dribble handoff. I can't pick and roll. Like, physically, they could not get to the rim. If it was not LeBaron Filon, you were not getting to the rim, period.
Yeah.
You had a couple of lob shots to Cliff, and maybe he caught them, maybe he didn't, because of the athleticism of Ngumbo and Malawash. And so what is it? What's an offense to do? Well, shoot, we're not getting inside. We were really hot the other night. Just boom, boom, boom. Let's just keep shooting them. Take another step back and another step back and another step back, because the length was such a problem.
And then, you know, as you are doing that, you find yourself in a deeper and deeper hole, which you need three-pointers to crawl yourself out of. And it's like, oh, well, we got to keep shooting now. We need the points.
So, Mason, my complaint the other day, yesterday, was with Coach Oates. In the sense of, it doesn't, just the line that Allie LaForce gave us, it doesn't matter what I draw up as long if you guys aren't going to get stops. On this, Coach, you're right.
Sure.
You need stops. And the guys weren't really.
they weren't getting them.
All right. It was, what's the line? Bleep through a tin horn. it was bad. But my contention was, you're the coach. Throw them a lifeline. Throw them, what is it, the life preserver. Get them an easy shot on offense.
Sure.
Draw up because the offense was such a challenge. I think that the offense was such a challenge that the guys were like, oh, bleep, it doesn't matter if we're playing any defense anyways, because we can't go down and get a good shot. Go down there and draw. Look, I don't care if it's a 12-foot elbow jumper. You saw Mark end up hitting one in the second half, and yep. And the announcers went crazy.
You know, yeah.
I don't care if it's that. Draw up an easy, like one easy play to be like, all right,
we got a bucket.
Right, exactly, exactly.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I know Nate Oates has it. Like, you got it in there somewhere.
That does he? Do we know that now?
I think he does.
Okay, because that's where I'm at the point of
maybe not.
Are you gaslighting the team because you don't have an offensive play? Because if I didn't have an offensive play, and I knew I didn't have an offensive play. I might say, it doesn't matter if I have an offensive play. You guys aren't playing any defense. Sure.
I do think with him, the defense has been such a point of contention with him that he has reached the breaking point, the boiling point, the absolute, I'm sick of all of you. Get off my damn team.
Agreed.
That he probably got to the point where he said, I'm done. I'm done helping you. You can't help yourself. I'm not going to help you.
There's some of that too, and I think there's definitely some element. Theo was getting on to me because he says, "Oh, sideline reporters, they just take the most interesting thing, and then parrot it right back out." So you're overreacting to probably one throwaway line in the huddle.
And I'm like, I think that's a pretty good point.
I'm like, all right, Theo, you got me.
I think that's a pretty good point.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I don't feel bad about losing to Duke. Let's see. Did Roy have anything else in this that I wanted to address? I feel like there was another couple things. Hold on,
Roy. Let gonna. Be
I'm just gonna pause it as we go.
Well, I gotta say, it's Roll Tide. We might have gotten beat. Well, we definitely got.
Oh yeah,
beat.
There was one thing I wanted.
I wish it was a little closer, to be honest.
Right there. That's what I wanted. I wish it was the margin. People, and Roy's not the only one.
Yeah.
They got embarrassed. Bama went out sad. Brother, this is what it looks like when you are physically outmatched. Mm-hmm. This is not a schematic issue. This is a physical issue. This is every player on the team is 3, 4, 6 inches longer than the Alabama counterpart.
Alabama was longer and more athletic than most of the teams they played this year. Duke was longer and more athletic than Alabama was. It's just the way it is.
I don't think that the margin had any, like, I was sitting here with Theo and Hunter the other day, and I said that I was sending text to I was sending white flag texts before the first media timeout.
It was, you knew from the start.
So yeah. So the 20-point margin, like, you saw it from the very first three trips up and down the floor. Like, oh, they are a lot bigger.
I mean, I think in even one of the first timeouts, one of the announcers said, like, you know, if Alabama can't stop the bleeding, Duke's going to be able to name their score. And that was exactly what they did.
So I don't really feel bad about it being 20 points. And you lost. You were outmatched. That the number could have been any number you want.
Yeah, I think I would have felt worse had it been a very close loss, because then it's like, why the hell didn't you win? Mm-hmm, you probably did get beat on some schematic thing if it was a close loss. But no, this way it was just, Alabama was never going to win this game. It is what it is.
A little bit about the whole situation if we had been a little more competitive. Because the fact is, going 2-4 against one seeds and then losing by 20 to Duke, it just shows this team the whole year, they were not on that championship level. Now,
I think he's right there. This is sad, but
unfortunately,
we talked about it 2 seconds ago. The injuries that the team dealt with all year long, they didn't play a single game healthy. And so all summer long, when you're thinking, well, this team might be amazing, they were really good. But you ran into great teams. You beat Houston. You beat Auburn on senior night.
Which I saw this on Twitter. How has this team beat Houston?
Because Houston cannot score.
How does Nate Oates own Houston?
Houston can't score.
I guess. That's all it is.
Houston cannot score.
It's crazy to think of the clamps that Duke put on this offense. But then, you know, Houston, just as much of a defensive prowess team. You know, obviously without the same draft prospects. But it's just funny to think that, you know, for whatever reason, this Alabama Crimson Tide team has Houston's number.
But that's also part of the reason why I don't feel bad about Saturday is like, you've seen Alabama play against before Saturday, 3 of the one seeds, and before Saturday it was 2-3, and it was not that good. Like the Florida matchups were never really that close, no. And yeah, you probably should have beat Auburn at home, but I don't know. I think people are watching Auburn through this tournament and maybe wondering if they were as good as advertised. I mean, great performance on Sunday, really great performance, but I think you've watched Auburn the first 3-4 games of the tournament and be like, are they really the best? It's Duke, right? It's Duke. It's Florida. It's Houston. You know, yeah, I think you've had those thoughts when you watched Auburn. So you might have, I think Roy's right. You're 2-4 against the one seeds. You were close, but not elite.
Yeah,
sorry.
You just were never there. And, you know, we tried to make it happen thinking, oh, this team, they can do it. They never had the things that you need to win a national championship. You never had that. You have to have that. Solid. You need who is a common Malawak, a Patrick Ngongba on the inside. You need one of those. Alabama did not have a player like that. Cliff, you tried, but you just weren't one of those players.
Cliff wasn't as explosive.
He
you got the alley-oops, great, but like it's the explosive wasn't the right word. It's the quickness, the quick feet that the ground that Malawash covered was so much different than the ground that Cliff covers. And I guess it's just agility.
Yeah, I just don't think Cliff has that same level of athleticism. I think, you know, his movements are a little more lumbering. Takes him a little bit longer to get going. He's got to build up some momentum. He doesn't have that quick burst like you know, either of these players have for Duke.
A lot of gains have been made, I will not deny. I mean, right. For us as fans to be disappointed with an Elite Eight appearance just shows.
Are you disappointed? That's my.
Am I disappointed? No. Sad that we lost. Yes. Disappointed. Yeah. No. Disappointed is really the wrong word, I think.
All right. Good. Me too. Same.
Where the program has come. So credit to Nate Oates for that. But if they want to be a championship team, there are changes to be made.
Oh yeah, perfect.
32 threes when you cold. You cannot jack up 32 threes against a good defense. You have to have an actual system that will create more open shots, more shots from different places in the court to soften up the defense. But overall, I won't complain. Alabama did win the women's wheelchair basketball national championship over the weekend. So we may not be a football school anymore under Kalen DeBoer. We may not be a basketball school under Nate Oates, but we are a wheelchair basketball school. And to that, I say, Roll Tide. Roy out.
All right, there we go. That triggered me there, the last one. Nate needs to take steps forward. Yes, I agree. The program, disappointment in the Elite Eight, not disappointed, but he talks about, basically sets up, if they want to be championship contender, if you want to win a champion, if you want to win, I contend over the last four seasons, Alabama's been running a championship program. Sure, there's no national championship to celebrate, but you got Final Four, two Elite Eights, three Sweet 16s, handful of conference titles, and people say, well, you haven't won the big one. Okay, that's fine. Which coach do you like the best, Mason? You like Jim Calhoun, John Calipari, Coach K, Dean Smith, Roy Williams, Larry Brown? Do you like any of those coaches?
Personally, or just off of their record as like a coach?
Don't care.
I always liked Roy Williams.
Roy Williams, perfect. Good. Well, we can look at Roy Williams. Roy's a good candidate here. Roy Williams was hired at the University of Kansas in 1988. At Kansas, he never won a national championship. How many NCAA tournaments? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 NCAA tournaments. Excuse me. Then they go to the Big 12. I'm reading Wikipedia wrong. Still, no national titles, right? Is that what I'm reading right? Yeah, before he goes to North Carolina. All right, so he's at Kansas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 years in the NCAA tournament with Kansas. No national titles. Mm-hmm. My man's goes to the Final Four two times with Kansas. He goes to the Elite Eight once. Other than that, he goes to Sweet 16 four times in these 14 years. Gets eliminated there. Then goes to Carolina. And it takes him how many more years? 5 more seasons before he wins the national title at Carolina. And yes, there are 4 NCAA tournament exits. Round of 32. Oh, no, I read this wrong. He won it in his second year. His second title was in the fifth year. All right, so better. He goes out in the round of 32 at Carolina, and then he wins the title. Out in the round of 32, Elite Eight, Final Four, national champion. The point is this. 14 bleeping years at Kansas. In the Final Four, in the Elite Eight, in the Sweet 16. Was Larry Brown a bad coach? Was he running a bad program? Was he running a program that's not championship level? Kansas has always been championship level. Kansas is a blue blood. Danny Manning and the Miracles. Bill Self. Mario Chalmers. Like, it just is Kansas. It is Dr. James Naismith and the Peach Basket. Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU. And he can't get it done. Is he a bad coach? No. The dude is a Hall of Famer. Is he not? Let me scroll up here. Oh, three-time NCAA tournament, 4-time Big East Coach of the Year, 2-time ACC Coach of the Year. Yeah, yeah. College Basketball Hall of Fame, 2006. The Basketball Hall of Fame, 2007. It takes time. Like, pick any of those names I just threw out there. Jim Calhoun. This is where we are here, folks. UConn was not always UConn. UConn was on the, we hired Jim Calhoun. We'll see what happens. He gets hired in 87. He gets hired in 87. NIT champions in 87. NIT quarterfinal. NCAA Elite Eight. Sweet 16. Second round exit. Back to the NIT, you jokers. Sweet 16 exit. Elite Eight exit. Sweet 16 exit. Back to the NIT. You're third place. Okay, here you go. Elite Eight the next year, and then boom, 1998. It's Richard Hamilton and your national champions. How many? 2 Elite Eight trips? 3? 4 Sweet 16s? And how many times in the NIT in between? Like, it just takes time.
And the tournament is such a crapshoot. Like, it is such a just...
You're buying lottery tickets.
Who the hell knows what's going to happen?
You're buying lottery tickets is what you're doing. And what you got to do is you play a good non-conference schedule. You get yourself the best lottery ticket you can. Oh, our lottery ticket this year says 2. Pretty good. Not bad. I mean, could have been better, but
sure,
pretty good. And our lottery ticket ends up with, you get Robert Morris and St. Mary's and BYU. And now, and it's like, that's probably about what a 2 line would get. Great. It just takes time, and only one team wins. I mean, play the want to play John Calipari game? I mean, good traders. Like, it doesn't matter which championship coach you take. Sure. I don't care. It doesn't matter. John Calipari, I'm at UMass, NIT first round, NIT fourth place, Sweet 16, round of 32, round of 32, Elite Eight, Final Four. I'm gone from UMass. No national titles. I'm at Memphis, NIT third place, NIT champion, round of 64, round of 32, back to the NIT for the semifinal. Okay, here we go. Elite Eight, runner-up, Sweet 16, fails! You're in the Elite Eight three straight times, and you don't want a title? Oh, failure. Okay, now I'm at Kentucky, and I'm at the Elite Eight again, and I'm in the Final Four, and then boom, 2011, I am a national champion. How many times is that? That's at least four Elite Eight runs. That's four Elite Eight runs. That's three Final Four runs before you actually win your title.
Just takes time. Learn something new every time you get there.
Right, and it doesn't, like I said, I don't care what championship coach you want to play.
Mm-hmm. Or it goes for any of them.
Dean Smith. I haven't even looked at Dean Smith's wiki, and I'm confident it will bear out. Yeah, here we go. Your first appearance in 1966, but mind you, Final Four. Runner-up, Final Four. Oh, we're going to win one, aren't we? Back to the NIT. NIT first round. NIT champion. Oh, Final Four, huh? NIT semifinal, NIT first round, NCAA second round, NCAA first round, and then runner up. Like, we still haven't won, Dean Smith. Runner up, first round exit, second round exit, runner up again in 80. And then finally, North Carolina, Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Sam Perkins win it in the 81-82 season. Like, how many Final Fours did I just say for Dean Bleepin Smith? I'm sorry if I'm like, if this point is being like beating a dead horse to death, but like, the criticism for Nate Oates is
absurd.
Thank you for a nicer word that I had in my brain. Thank you. Like, all you have to do is look at any basketball. I don't have this name pulled up on my tab. What about our friend on TV, Jay Wright? Jay Wright at Villanova, I'm pretty sure had a bunch of exits.
Took a long time.
Yes, before they finally won. NIT first round, 64, round of 64. NIT.
Any team in the country, just about.
Pick a championship.
With the exception of a few.
Pick a championship coach. Scott Drew won one with Baylor a couple years ago, right? Scott Drew, they had a great, what was that, 2021?
Yeah, it took him literally like 22 years to do it or something.
Like, are we serious here? Like, we're not. Scott Drew makes his first NCAA tournament with Baylor in 2007 and doesn't end up winning a title until 2021, right? Like, I don't care which championship coach you want to pick. It does not matter. This is just what happens. This is the path. This is the pattern. And so, because it's the pattern, I don't think you should feel one bit of upset or disappointment or any negative emotion about this Alabama run. Look at the circumstances that we've all outlined. Injuries throughout the year. Running into an elite team. And, you just didn't. Also, kind of went cold on that night, but just an elite team. Nate Oates squeezed every bit of juice out of this team that he could based on the injury situation, in my opinion. Maybe you could have gotten, yes, the Ole Miss win. You don't choke in Knoxville. Yes, we can nitpick on those things, but on the whole, I'd say check. Good job. Good job, and let's keep it going for next year.
Yeah. It sucks that you got to wait a whole year. That's like the worst part.
Oh, yeah.
Build all of it up, and then it's just one game. It can all end.
That's what makes it so special, too.
Sure.
Anything else you got for Roy before we move on to next year? That drives me crazy. The Nate's not a, you're not like you, we are operating at championship level right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you are a team consistently making it to the Sweet 16, you're at that level pretty much. Because I think if you, for the most part, you know, if you are one of those teams, you are in those top 3-4 seeds probably, and then you're getting matched up with lower seeded teams in those first two rounds that you should be beating. And then yeah, once you get to the Sweet 16, it's like all bets are out. We're just a you know, we have our lottery ticket, like you said, and we're just going to see what happens here.
All right, Mason Woods, we need to move on from the weekend and from the voicemail. Look, Roy, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Call anytime you like, 205-462-7340, extension 800. You can call and be like Roy and join us right there on the voicemail line. If you want to talk about anything, we'll chat about it.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
I want to talk about next year. I don't want to talk about spring football till tomorrow. We're going to be back in the football facility tomorrow. And then we've got a scrimmage.
I do have this one week. Interesting note for you that our friend Anthony Colner shared with me yesterday that I got to speak to the recruit.
Oh,
26 quarterback, 2026 quarterback. He told me Ty Simpson shined in the scrimmage. So, you know,
we need to bring him back on.
Bring him on. We're trying.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. Anthony, we'd love to have you on for about 10, 15 minutes. Get to know you a little bit. I want to go to basketball, just kind of a spring cleanup, I guess. We look at the roster. We tried to do this yesterday, but I'm sure nobody listened to at the end of it because by that time, the mics would have driven me crazy. All right, I'm just going to go right through this, and I'll say stay or go, and then you get your chance real quick. I think LeBaron Fylon's gone. I think Mark obviously graduates. Aiden stays. Latrell is closer to 50-50 than I think anybody wants to admit. Grant's gone. Chris is gone. Mohamed Abate, I'm 85% sure he's staying. Cliff is gone. Jaren, I don't know at all, but I am betting that Jaren is going to transfer. Aiden is up in the air, but I think Aiden's coming back. Nas Cunningham put his name in the transfer portal yesterday. Darian Reed, I think, will end up transferring out, unfortunately. I hate that. I hope that that is not true. I hope that y'all say that I'm wrong. Max not on scholarship. We love you, Max. And Houston has said that he is returning, and I think that is true. Anybody you want to disagree with?
I don't really understand why Latrell would transfer. Is the market for him that big? He's coming off an Achilles tear. Like I don't know. I don't know that I necessarily buy that his market is all that crazy. I mean, he was, you know, you were a above average role player, and then you came into this year and tore your Achilles. Like I'm just stating facts. You know, I know that sounds mean and harsh, but Latrell, come on, buddy. Let's be honest with ourselves here. I don't know that you're really in your best interest if you're trying to leave the program that actually wants you. I don't know. It's weird. That seems like a strange choice, but maybe that's the case. I would also be extremely disappointed to see Darian Reed transfer.
I think that's
that one seems much more likely, where it's like someone's going to offer him a bag and I can't blame him for leaving because he is that good.
I think he's going to Georgia.
That would suck.
Yeah, that's going to really irritate me.
Jaren, that one seems to be kind of the general consensus. A lot of people think he's going to be transferring.
South Florida?
I don't know, maybe.
Arkansas State?
I think he might just be too damn quiet to do it. He's too, like, shy and reserved and quiet, doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. He might just sit here quietly and be like, I'm not even that happy, but I'm here. I just don't know.
We were talking about it yesterday. Like, you can see him. This was drives me crazy. You can see the talent.
Mm-hmm.
But then he gets the ball in his hands, and it's like the confidence evaporates out of his body. Just
please, God, don't do something wrong.
Right. He's in this Duke game. He gets an offensive rebound or defensive rebound, but he's like trapped on the baseline. And instead of doing the thing that Grant and Mark always try to do, jump around and throw it off somebody, he just immediately looks for a ref and calls timeout. It's like, okay, thank you. We saved possession.
Cool. But yeah, man.
But it's just like, no confidence at all. Like, buddy, you're big. You're a lot. You're
6'10".
You're bigger than me. Yeah. You're a lot bigger. Like, I have seen you shoot before. Mm-hmm. I have seen you make a lot of shots, and I have seen you ruin a team's life like when you're playing on.
Yeah. I don't understand why he lacks the confidence. It is very strange. And I don't know Jaren personally.
Sure.
But that's my only guess, is that it's just kind of a personality thing with him, because obviously the Alabama fan base is mean and rude, and they
say
bad things
to
people.
Our fans aren't mean.
Actually, they are.
Yeah, they're extremely mean. They're one of the most toxic fan bases in the world.
We invite you to be mean to us at JoeGaither6 and at MAWoods_.
So I'm sure that he gets his fair share of hateful tweets and comments and things like that that do not help his confidence. But at the same time, it's just, I don't know. We've seen it. Like, you have put good tape out there. You have put very, very impressive things out there. I don't understand what's keeping you from believing in yourself, because it does seem like that is the issue with him. It's just like he has no confidence out there. He's so unsure about everything he's doing that it leads him to making bad plays sometimes.
I think there's still a decent chance that he returns, because I think Coach Oates, I think they love him. I think that they would say,
I do.
Please, we will rebuild your confidence. So I think there's a chance that he stays. What ended up happening yesterday? What ended up happening yesterday is you lost out on Adrian Woolley, the Kennesaw State young man who is from Tuscaloosa, who is now going,
a pretty good chance that one was happening,
to Louisville. Yeah, I did too as well, but I inference that Louisville is paying him quite some. Pat Kelsey said, what's your number, buddy?
Yeah, hey, probably. I'm sure they are. I'm sure
they are. Hey, buddy, what's your number? And so Alabama pivots instead and secures one Noah Williamson, 7-footer from Latvia, 7-foot junior from Bucknell. 7-footer average, 17? Is that what I have? 17 points a game? Oh, all these numbers are too small for my eyes. Right there.
I hate this website.
Yeah, right there. 17.6 points a game, 7.6 rebounds per game. I like that. He's shooting 32% from beyond the arc, averaging almost 2 assists, almost 1 block, and almost a steal per game as well for the Bucknell Bison. Okay, great. What do I see? What do you see when you look at clips? I see a mutated Grant Nelson.
Yeah, I see a, he has the size that we were looking for, the size of Cliff plus, and then he also has a bit of that athleticism that we're looking for as well. I'd like it if he was maybe a little bit better from beyond the arc. But it seems like he's got a bit of a stroke. Maybe that can improve with some time in the program a bit. You know, right, he's hovering right around that, 30-something, 31, 32% kind of. So I would have liked to see somebody maybe closer to the 40 range, but I'll take it.
He looks like a bigger Caucasian version of Aiden Sherrill.
I was going to say, maybe a more in control Sherrill. You know? An Aiden Sherrill that's gotten time to get comfortable with how big he is and how strong he is and how much, more athletic he is than other people, and, knows how to use it to his advantage.
All right. Are we worried? I am. What do you think about the Horizon League? Translating the Horizon League. I mean, he's an older guy. We're a junior. We've been in college basketball for some time now, so it's not like a child who has been in the Horizon League. But it is the Horizon League to the SEC, and it's the post.
I'm trying to find the tweet now, because I know I saw this. Someone broke it down. His performances last season against like elite competition. And I want to say I saw he averaged like 13-6 or something like that. 13 rebounds.
All he has to do for us is catch and dunk and rebound the basketball.
Yeah, you don't have to be,
protect the damn rim.
Sherrill can be the shooting big man. You can just hang out down low. We need the two of them. Aiden Sherrill sophomore season. I texted this to my friends last night. It is going to feed families.
How fat am I going to get?
Big
boy eating Aiden Sherrill highlights all day. I was struck over the weekend with the Grant Nelson highlight package, the Grant Nelson career highlight package, just jam after jam after jam. The thing I love about Grant is just no matter what, it's 100%. We're dunking this from the free throw line. I can't even dunk from the free throw line, but I'm going to try.
Oh, man, that still makes me laugh thinking about him trying to dunk from 17 feet away.
Dude, I love you. And honestly, there was nothing in his brain that thought he was not going to make it.
He thought he was going to make it. Yeah, he was fully confident.
And it's like, I love it. That's what I'll miss the most. Like, we'll sit here and talk about Mark's legacy. And it is writ in crimson flame. But Grant's who I'm going to miss the most. Go ahead.
Yeah, I probably just on a personal, just because Grant had that like spark about him. But man, I do love Mark. Yeah. I saw far too many people doing the Mark Sears, Jalen Milroe comparisons this weekend.
Dumb.
You people are dumb.
Not
so
smart.
So dumb.
Not smart.
Mark Sears is to this basketball program what AJ McCarron is to the Mark Sears. Far too much disrespect for Mark Sears this weekend. He is like, you know, we talk about the 2008 recruiting class. Like Mark Sears is that to this basketball program. Mark Sears is the he took you to your first Final Four. Like, come on, people. I mean, good Lord. What he did for this program. And look, I love Jalen Milroe. He was a great representative for the Crimson Tide. Right. I'm not going to say bad things about Jalen Milroe. But just impact on the program. Like, Milroe is a drop in the bucket compared to Mark Sears, who is the entire 5-gallon pail, filled it up from bottom to top. Like, it's just, oh man, it is not even a close comparison to talk about the impact that each of them had on their respective programs. Mark Sears, you will forever be one of the greatest players to ever walk through this program, this basketball program. And Jalen Milroe, you were awesome, but you were not that.
There are three, according to Sports Reference, three All-Americans in the Alabama basketball history, consensus All-Americans. Now, this could be incorrect, but I'm reading this right from sportsreference.com. Mark Sears, Brandon Miller, and Leon Douglas are your three consensus All-Americans. People are upset about people are doing the Jalen Milroe thing because of the physical deficiency. Yes. Because, Mark get too small to play with Malawash, and they thought, well, you're just...
This reminds me of Milroe not being able to throw.
Yes. And I think that is a...
It's a very cheap comparison.
Yes, it is a very... It's a bird brain comparison. I have no memory. I cannot think past 2 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. I cannot think past a minute ago. And the last thing that I saw in the football season was the Alabama leader upsetting me, disappointing me. So this must be the same thing. It's a foolish. It is so foolish. Now, leadership. I think that both of them are great representations of Alabama and of themselves. And I think they're both classy gentlemen. So, okay, you can compare them in that way. Sure. I think you're really, really telling on yourself if you think that they are comparable, if they make the comparable impacts on their respective programs. I definitely think that Jalen should be credited for holding the team together and, 9-4 last year. Not bad, not great, not bad. But you've got Mark here who listened. Whatever you think about Cliff, fine. After the game on Saturday, they ask your transfer decision. He talks about, I played with Mark in pre-draft and thought, wow, this is a point guard I really want to play with. Like, Mark made this program a lot better. Mark was an attraction to bring in talent to, Latrell, you want to play number two off him? Aiden, you want to rehab your entire career without any pressure because the face of the program is playing your position, so you can just come in and be just be you, bud. Great. Cliff, you can't, like, Mark did so much for this program. You can be upset at Saturday night's game, sure, all right, and we can all acknowledge that we would love a point guard that's 6'4". Okay, great. But he wasn't. But what he was a player who took you to two Elite Eights, took you to three Sweet 16s, a Final Four. He's got three, right? Or four SEC championships. He wasn't part of the first double team. Yeah, no, he was a part of the second double team. So he's got two SEC titles.
I will miss Mark Sears dearly.
Sure. Did Saturday's game change your answer from Friday's question, retiring Mark Sears' number?
Not one bit.
Me either.
Not one bit.
And I think if it did, then you're also showing your rear end.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, man. I'm going to miss this team a lot.
Yeah, I will too. I will too. They, good run. Good times. We'll see what they look like in the next 2 months or so. Well, really, in the next 10 days. I think we'll find out in the next 10 days or so who's going to be on the team and who's going to be off the team.
How active do we, because I mean, I truly have zero insight into this, but how active do we believe they will be in the transfer portal?
Active enough. I think you're getting three, four, five. I mean, how many do we just kick off the team? LeBaron, Mark,
Cliff.
Two, Grant. Three, four. Five. I made space for seven. How many are in the recruiting class? Like four.
Davian Hanna, London Jemison, and I think it's three.
All right. So if I made room for seven, and we have three coming in, then you're going to hit three, four transfers.
Yeah, you got three.
And one
Amari Allen. That's the one I was forgetting.
And one of them's already here. One of them's already committed with Noah Williamson. One Noah Williamson.
So we're looking for three or four more spots.
All right.
What are we looking for? We looking for a lengthy guard that can shoot. We looking for another big man.
Looking for Ryland Griffin. Ryland, buddy, this is the easiest decision you ever made in your life. I don't care what
Mama
the money.
Call.
It doesn't matter what the money is. The off-court value of returning to Tuscaloosa before you go to the NBA, trust me, it's worth it. You come back, you lead Alabama to a minus season, whatever that ends up being, and then you go on to the NBA, and everyone you always have a home here. You go to a third school? You go to a third school. Like, fine, it's your life, it's your choice. You can go to third school. You can make whatever money that third school will give you. Great. I'm sure Arkansas is going to pay you a butt ton of money. Great. Awesome. But you will not have a home. And maybe that's not worth anything to young men and to young athletes these days.
Sure.
Maybe it's not. But to me, I think that there's a
lot to be said for that.
I think there's a, and maybe you do have the connections of, hey, I can just call Coach Oates and he can get me a job. He can write me a job recommendation. And I'm sure Coach Oates will do that for Ryland and for any of the transferees, Nick Pringle, Davin Cosby, whoever. But I don't know. Maybe I'm blinded by sentiment, but I think that there is a lot for the connections I made at this university, the people I met outside and inside the programs that I played for. I just think that, you know, you never know. I need a job when I'm 50 and, you know, somebody's hiring. Oh, I remember watching you play. Man, heck yeah, I'll hire you right now. Like, I don't know.
You never know.
Maybe that's a silly perspective for Joe, but I think, Ryland, this is the easiest. If the coaching staff will have you back, which I have no reason to think that they won't, I don't know. I'll leave 1% open for me to be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah,
but if there's any invitation for you to return, I think you have to take it.
Do we want that?
Yes.
That what fans want?
If you don't want it, Okay, perfect. If you don't want it, I think you're foolish, because why would you not want 6'5"? Why would you not want 6'5", guards on the perimeter, can shoot fairly well. We've
Bad
seen
attitude,
him shoot.
Gets down, transferred out of your program. Thought he was bigger and better than Tuscaloosa. You want that guy? You want this guy back?
Well, nothing is nobody works harder than the Shame Son returning.
I don't know.
I definitely want it back.
I'm firmly on the fence.
Okay.
I'm firmly on the fence.
Just because of the, I want to go compete for a championship, so I'm going to Kansas?
Yeah. Screw you. You left. go on, get out. I don't know. Go figure own. Go figure it out on your own, buddy. What you should have stuck here. I don't know. I hate this. There's no damn loyalty. And I sound like an old man, but it's just no. Take your ass on. Go on. You made your bed. Now lie in it, Ryland. Shouldn't have transferred out, idiot.
So what if I could tell you that Nados can get Sam Walters, Davin Cosby, Nick Pringle, and Ryland Griffin as those four transfers to remake?
Yeah, I would pass. I would pass.
You pass on it?
Yeah, I would pass. I would,
because that team didn't play defense maybe, at all.
No,
they didn't play any defense.
I would be more inclined to
107.
Welcome Nick Pringle just because he did not leave with the attitude of I'm better than you and I can do better things elsewhere. He left with the attitude of like I just have a better opportunity somewhere. That's fine. Sam Walters, no.
107 in defensive efficiency.
Man plays negative defense. He plays opposite defense.
I subscribed to Ken Palm the other day just so I could like see all the history. Yeah, look, I think it was 107. Maybe it was 110. That was last year.
I don't know. I think there's a lot.
No, not 107. 111. Even worse.
I do think there's a lot to be said for. We weren't going to win here, so I wanted to go somewhere that could win, and then I got embarrassed, and now, please take me back.
We'll take you back, Ryland. Go defend the perimeter.
You're going to have to earn it, Ryland.
Go defend their best player.
If you do it, maybe. It's going to take you a little bit.
I'll take that glove. I will definitely take that glove back. Go best play. Hey, Cooper Flagg, that's you, buddy.
Go get wild. Go get washed.
Well, if someone has to, it may as well be him. Okay.
He played, 7 minutes a game on this Kansas team? That sucked.
Well, Bill Self is over the hill. I am not a Bill Self fan.
Maybe not, but I don't know. I was not.
I don't think Bill Self. I don't think his soft skills are very good.
I think Ryland Griffin might be in a worse place now than he was when you brought him in the first time. So I don't know if you necessarily want that on your team.
Okay, that might be true. I just wonder if Bill Self's soft skills did not get the most out of Ryland.
Possibly.
Because I don't think that Bill Self has the best soft skills in the world. And I think Ryland was probably somebody you had to put an arm around. Pick your chin up, buddy. You're doing okay. You're doing good. Look at that three you just made.
Yeah.
Who cares if you just got burned on defense? It's okay. Kind of pep your step up. And maybe this is a terrible perception, but that's just my perception.
I kind of see that as well. He's weak in the mind.
Well, all the kids are. I am.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm going to go home and cry. So, like, we're all weak in the mind.
Man, I was weak in the mind after that Duke game, let me tell you.
Did you cry?
I couldn't. I was.
You shed a tear for
the
team.
I was wholly unable to do the, man, I was just happy we got here, guys. Could not find that headspace.
The only space that I was in was mother.
Jeez. Yeah, I was madder than a snake. Hey, I tell you, I talked about not hating this Duke team. I hate this Duke team now.
Why?
I don't know. That made me hate them, though.
You didn't find the ooh, I can appreciate greatness.
It took you straight to the I hate them. Mm-hmm.
Vitriol.
Yeah, it took me straight to the I hate them.
That's how I feel when I see Auburn play.
I hate how smug John Shire is, I think. You know, I can't stand him. He's already turning himself into Coach K for me.
37 years old.
And he's going to be there for the next 40 years.
Calm as can be on the sidelines, just dialing up plays.
Him. Can't stand him.
Cannot take him to an emotional seven. He's just right there riding 4, 5, 6 all day.
No. He will make Duke unlikable again. They're there for me. They'll get there for everybody else.
Well, what made him unlikable was they talk about losing the Elite Eight last year, and they talk about how John Shire went and did a full evaluation of the program and like mental evaluations, because like mentally weak was what was his mm-hmm. answer. And talked about, we really stepped up the psychology and who we recruited. We really focused in on who we recruited. It's like, no, you didn't.
You just got the best player.
Exactly. There was no, we want to make sure that these players are the best intellect and the best mentally tough players. Said, no, I just want Cooper Flagg, Con Knipple, and Kamon Mollywash. Yep, and it's like, I'll take three lottery players and we'll be a whole lot better. It's like, come on, coach.
Yeah. Man, yeah.
I just wanted to take the smartest and take the most mature players I could in recruiting, and so I really focused on maturity and focused on character and No, you didn't. You recruited the guy who's 6'9" as a wing player who's going to be the number one player in the NBA draft. You recruited the kid Knipple who can't miss with his eyes closed. I get people. Well, maybe Nate Oates needs to recruit players like that. Well, buddy, Alabama did recruit Kanaan Knipple. He chose not to go here.
They tried. Duke had a slightly bigger checkbook.
It's like, oh, this is what happens when you play with the blue blood. Sometimes they go to the blue blood, not to you. You were in on Liam McNally a little bit, the UConn guy. You were never in on Cooper Flagg. So it's like, what are you going to do?
Back to the drawing board.
Okay. You ran on AJ DeBanza, missed out on him too. If BYU ends up beating us next year because of AJ DeBanza,
you will see a crash out like you've never seen before from yours truly.
Yeah, that's going to be a big problem. Well, we got to be done for the day. We had a lot of fun here in the Derek Daniels Studios. Hopefully got things back on track for the week. So sorry about yesterday. I am like livid. Like when that happens, Mason, my whole day, I didn't want to talk to anybody. It ruins it. I don't want to do anything. I didn't even write the show. I posted it on our YouTube and, you know, podcast platforms, but I didn't write it because I was like, I don't want, it makes me so angry. So angry. All right. Anything else we got before we say goodbye? Listen to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. Call Derek Daniel. 205-758-3391 for all insurance. I've been Derek Daniels, State Farm Studios. We're here Monday through Friday. We appreciate you checking us out on the Bama Central Facebook channel, Facebook page. We appreciate you guys the most. Chime in on the voicemail line, 205-462-7340, extension 800, or leave us a comment, question, query, or complaint at JoeGaither6 at MAWoods_ and at Bama Central.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.